Welcome to Talking Travel on 2NURFM. Greg Richard here, still with Sally Lucas joining us now.
I'm here. I'm even early for you today. Yeah, you didn't have to have a heart attack.
Exactly right. I was thinking a bit early. It's,
yeah.
Usually it's...
I'm usually running in the door. And
usually it's about now you start walking in. Yeah. Sally, what have you got lined up for us today?
I'm going to talk about us eventually catching up with the rest of the world and ditching the awful incoming passenger card we have to fill out when we've gone overseas. Mm-hmm. It's going to become digital, so we'll have a little bit of a chat about that.
Yep.
About hotel bookings, if you've got specific needs, a beautiful circumnavigation of Japan, and a lovely itinerary through Canada and Alaska.
Right, that Japan one sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is. Looks actually very exciting.
It's Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7. And Sally, got a couple of, quite a bit of admin?
Yeah, a little bit of,
before we get to the...
The little bits and pieces that you've got to go through first, you know, like when you go to a function, well, yeah, your toilets are here, the safety exit's there, so sort of like that. Australia's finally catching up with the rest of the world in ditching the old incoming passenger card for overseas visitors and returning residents. So there's going to be just debuted actually, a new digital alternative called the Australian Travel Declaration, or the ATD it'll become known as. It's being piloted just on selected flights from New Zealand to Brisbane with Qantas at the moment, and with plans to extend the trial to other flights and also further on in coming months. Obviously, they'll be extending it even further. So it will eventually be taken over by the Australian Border Force. So even though it's just running as it is at the moment with the airlines assisting, no doubt, I bet it'll be an app. Won't it?
Oh, it is, guaranteed.
I'm guaranteed it'll be an app. So,
what's the worst that could happen there as well?
Can you imagine anything going wrong?
No, of course not. Not this day and age.
And an app, you know, again, can we go back to what I was just discussing even with Amanda off here, with elderly people and so on that don't have computers, that don't have iPhones?
Yeah.
Like, how far are they going to go with all this? It's not helping them, is it, to have a peaceful latter retirement part of their life.
Or people who don't use smartphones as well.
Yeah.
They might just stay listed on the
anyway, old. Anyway, so I guess they're going to still have to have some sort of thing that they can complete if you cannot do it by the app.
Well, surely the card would have to be like a secondary thing still, wouldn't it?
Watch this space, as I keep saying, but honestly. So, yes, the system will generate a QR code and your passengers present that to the Border Force office on arrival, which replaces the need for a paper card. Anyway, let's just see how all that pans out.
Right.
But it is coming. And the other thing, just as a note, an aside, and it was one of the guys here on reception sent me, he found this article, which was quite interesting. It was about someone with a disability who still travels the world and, you know, just like to put something forward that without hotels and accessible rooms. Now, when you book often through a search engine, like whether it be booking.com, Expedia, Trivago, whatever, you might ask for the accessible room, but sometimes they will sell that accessible room to someone else who hasn't requested it. So when you get to the hotel, you may not be able to get that accessible room. So what I'm saying is it's sometimes better to either book with the hotel direct to make sure it is. I had it happen to me recently and I felt awful. I thought, I've been put in an accessible room. I don't need it. What if someone turns up and needs an accessible room? So when it's gone through a third party, if you like, not direct with a hotel. So even if you do book through a search engine, what I would suggest, and even though they might have, given, you might look at it and you don't want an accessible room, it's given you one, we'll go direct to the hotel and say, please, I don't need this accessible room. I know you may need it. Or vice versa, the other way around, if you do need it, make sure you still contact the hotel. Look, I want to ensure that I do have, a wheelchair accessible or whatever it is that you need. I think it's important. So it was just interesting this lady just mentioned this, that she got there and, she'd booked it and thought she had one, but then she didn't and they didn't have a room spare.
That's even worse.
Yeah. So, just something to keep in mind for people out there with their disabilities or any special needs, yeah.
Even in general, maybe it might just be a good idea to, after your book, ring the place.
Direct.
Correct. Even just to confirm or...
Yeah. Once let the booking go through, they mightn't have checked their bookings for a while, but even if you leave it an hour or something like that and contact the property direct, if it's locally, you could do it by phone or if you could do it by email or text if it's internationally, whatever. But, I think if you've got a specific room type that you need, just ensure that that's what you're getting.
I mean, I say ring after your book. I don't think I've ever done that, but because there's a few times when I go after I've booked and just booking and checking in.
Yeah.
There's a couple of seconds where you go, oh, no, they've got a room.
Well,
they haven't lost it.
It's true. And that doesn't hurt because you could even just make an initial request. It might be sometimes they'll ask you on these booking engines if there's anything you also require. Like, and I just booked something recently for my husband. Nearly when you look up all rooms these days, they've only got king beds or queens. So, you know, I said, no. You know, we need two gentlemen and we need two single beds. Yep. And I ring the hotel directs. Otherwise, that might not happen. Just keep that in mind.
It's Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7. And Sally, we're looking at a trip to Japan, but circumnavigation.
Virtually, yes. Oh, it's virtual. Well, it's not quite a circumnavigation. It's almost, but it's taking a multitude of spots. Japan has become the absolute flavour of the month, the week, the year. Everyone at the moment who wants to go to Japan is going to Japan.
Yep.
And even if they hadn't thought they wanted to go to Japan, they're going to Japan. The feedback, even from people that have been there, of course, of the people, the buzz, the, you know, Tokyo's 37 million people. I still can't get my head around that. I mean, we're only 25 in the whole country.
I saw a thing with that famous crossing in Tokyo.
Oh, yeah, the Ginza, was it?
And it's like 2,000 people cross it at once.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. I don't know. I think I'd panic.
I know. I don't know. I suppose it's controlled. I think you take your life more crossing the streets in Vietnam. But anyway.
Possibly in Pitcher in Sydney as well. You're probably taking your chances
that's
a bit
true.
More as well.
Anyway, we're not going to do any of that because this is on a lovely little ship, Coral Expeditions, which is Australia's one of their pioneering cruise lines. It only takes a small amount of guests, which is wonderful. So you're going to experience, they're calling this through the heart of Japan. It's from Tokyo to Fukuoka. It's 14 nights. And you're going, not just doing cities, of course, but you're doing lovely, quiet little coastal island villages, which is something you can do on a small ship cruise that you can't do on a large ship, number one, or even by land sometimes. So you get to experience the real Japan, not just the cities.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So you can immerse yourself. You go to a remote township of Shimizu where you visit these shrines, and there's one that's really quite famous that's, you see photos of it all the time. It's always set in a lake or water. It's a beautiful red typical Japanese shrine, and that's one of the things that you will discover while you're there. You go to remote valleys and mountains, and you do some little short walks as well as, and you even visit a small island in South Korea. And you go to these wonderful UNESCO-listed lava tubes, and you go to some other islands. See, people forget Japan's an archipelago. We all hear about the main islands, but it's got lots of little islands as well with beautiful beaches, and you don't think of Japan, and beaches doesn't go hand in hand.
No, do you?
You think of Mount Fuji and the mountains and the large cities, and you think about their wonderful spas, their onsens, you know, where you can have the traditional spa and accommodation. So you think of that. But you forget that Japan's got all this other wonderful scenery as well, wonderful hiking trails as well, cycling, and, of course, the wonderful fast train system that you've got within Japan if you are travelling by land, which is just absolutely phenomenal when you think about it.
It's a certain time to get on and off, isn't it? There's no mucking about.
No. Yeah, they have people pushers, official. get you on there, you know, because they just jam pack them at the peak hour times of the day. Of course, it's just, but it's absolutely amazing. You visit, as I said, we talk about either what they call the Red Tory Gate, which looks like it's floating on the Seto Inland Sea. You're going to discover World War II history. Is going to Hiroshima's Peace Memorial Park, Osaka, which is considered the food capital of Japan as well, Kyoto, which is wonderful there. It's very traditional. You go to a place called Shoshima, and you do a two-hour hike in a gorge there called the Kankakai Gorge. And you also visit Japan's oldest area for soy production of more than 400 years of crafting this beautiful soy that we all love, Kikkoman soy. To me, it's a pure soy. I like the Japanese soy. I think it's not as heavy as some of the Chinese soys.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. But look, this is a wonderful itinerary, and it's going next year. It's only got three departures. We've got 4 October and 2 November. It's going between Tokyo and Fukuoka, and on the 18th of October, it's doing the reverse from Fukuoka to Tokyo. Obviously, everything's included once you're on there. It's just an amazing itinerary where you can really immerse yourself in all sorts of areas of Japan that are not normally visited on your normal everyday land itineraries. So if you're really interested in the culture, the history, the coastal villages, the beauty, the gorges, the mountains.
Especially seeing those other islands that you wouldn't think to go to see.
No, well, that's right. So just consider that. And other than that, Greg, there is another really nice one going as well next year. They've got departures throughout the year, and this is doing the wonderful, of course, Canadian Rockies and Alaska. It is such a popular destination. Mm-hmm. Again, Japan has become more popular, but this area part of the world has always been. Yep. It's just one of those sellers that everyone wants to go and do the Rockies, but also do that Inside Passage cruise, which is just beautiful, spectacular. So you can do a two-day Rocky Mountaineer rail journey on this, and then you're doing a seven-night Holland America Line cruise from Vancouver to return with departures April to September. It's a 19-day itinerary. It's a beautiful itinerary going all the way up as far as Skagway, Glacier Bay, Juneau, Ketchikan as well. You get to go to Victoria Island as well, to Whistler, to Vancouver, and of course, taking in Lake Louise, staying at the wonderful resort there, the Fairmont, Banff, Jasper. It's just a gorgeous itinerary.
Oh, geez, it's pretty much all the ticks there, isn't it?
It is. It is all the ticks. And that's a lovely 19-day itinerary if you really want to immerse yourself in that Inside Passage area and also in the Canadian Rockies, but also doing that capital of Victoria. It's a beautiful island, Victoria Island, and the Butchart Gardens are just stunning. So, yes, lots of departures there between April to September next year that you can do that as well.
All right. Two pretty good cruises right there.
Well, that's a cruise and land, and the other one is just a cruise. But, yeah, look, they're both great options.
It's Talking Travel on 2NUR FM 103.7. And, Sally, got to wrap up with a couple of hot deals for us.
We have. As we were talking earlier, Greg, like we mentioned today, we were talking about Japan and the Rockies. So they both are available. They're itineraries that there are no special rates on those at all. But I'm just saying, just get in early because, again, with the Coral Expeditions, it's only a small amount of passengers on board. Yep. So if you're really interested, they've only got those three departures on that one. Whereas the Canada Alaska, you've got more departures available, but it's still a very popular destination. So the main thing with anything these days, as we keep saying, Greg, is get in early. And at the moment, nearly all the companies, whether it be cruising, whether it be land, whether it be rail, they've all had their early bird offers that all finish next Thursday.
Yeah,
October is always a cut-off time.
Yeah.
So if you've missed the boat now, you've missed the boat. They'll probably come up with another one early in the new year, but sort of they don't do them at the end of the year. Like they're basically done now, and unless you can book by next Thursday. Having said that, though, Viking with their worldwide cruise program, which is River Sea, ocean going, etc., their offer goes through till the 15th of November on all their 25 through to 27 sailings, said river, ocean, the whole bang, and they still got the fly free on that.
That's right.
So fly free.
Well, it's very good. It's better than all right.
Well, it's better than all right. So you've got till the 15th of November, okay, on that one. Now, something that's really interesting, this is another really interesting itinerary, which I could have talked about as well, but I've just thrown it in the hot deals. Mm. Now, this is APT has partnered with the luxury cruise line Seabourn. And they're taking you on an 11-day all-inclusive cruise from London to Reykjavik in Iceland. And again, it's a fascinating itinerary. So you're leaving from London and you're cruising all up the east coast of England and then you go way up into the islands off the top of Scotland and then you go into the Faroe Islands, which are between the top of Scotland and Iceland. Which again, not a lot of itineraries go into the Faroe Islands, so very, really interesting. And then you're almost doing a complete navigation of Iceland as well. Really fascinating itinerary. It's only one departure only. This is a one-off in July next year, all-inclusive. They've got savings up to $4,000 per couple, subject to availability. That's all they're saying. Mm-hmm. So there's no exact cut-off date. If you book an owner's suite or higher on the vessel, though, you will get free business class flights.
Oh, okay.
So that's if you can afford the suite to start with, of course.
I'm assuming if you could afford the suite, you probably could afford business class.
Yeah. And there are some other lovely cruises I thought I'd mention as well that is doing from the English Channel to the Hebrides. Now, this is actually starting from Honfleur in France, and this is with Ponant, who is the French cruise company anyway. And they're going across to Falmouth and then into Ireland, and up into the up Northern Ireland. Then they go all the way up into Glasgow, all touring around the top part of Scotland and into the Hebrides. They've got another one that does the Hebrides and the Iberian Peninsula, and it's very in-depth from Lisbon all the way through to Glasgow, taking in Bilbao, Bordeaux, lots of interesting itineraries here, Cherbourg, Honfleur again, and all the way through to the top of Ullapool in Scotland. And another one that's doing the Baltic cities and Scandinavian splendours, which is from Copenhagen through to Edinburgh. Fascinating itinerary. Again, it's 20 nights. The one prior to that, the Iberian Peninsula to the Hebrides, 26. And the first one I mentioned from Honfleur to Glasgow is a 15-night. Now, again, they've got reductions at the moment on those. Quite good reductions, actually. They vary. The longer the cruise, the bigger the rebate, subject, again, to availability. But look, there's some great cruising itineraries coming out these days to areas that we haven't cruised before. So there's something there to suit everybody's taste, really, depending on what your interests are. So, but get in early, as I say always, that's the best way to get your best price and to get your best deal.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And cruises are kind of on the way back again as well.
Well, they're just phenomenal at the moment. I mean, and the thing is, the good thing, I suppose, I mean, there are bad and good things. I mean, I know a lot of the cruise ports are getting sick of the large vessels with all the crowds coming in.
Yep.
But the thing is, you can choose now. You have lots of smaller expedition-based companies, you know, and even not even just expedition, just companies that are operating on a smaller cruise level to be more eco-friendly, mm-hmm. you know, have better fuel systems, eco-fuel systems and so on. So you can cruise and not feel like you're on a gigantic ship with 4,000 passengers. You can cruise at the level you would like to cruise at, and I guess that's a good thing. And the thing about that with, like, even river cruising and so on, like, none of those vessels take more than about 120 guests. So again, you might have a lot of those vessels, but they're not carrying
a lot of people.
So if it's me, I'd always select more small ship cruising. I think it's a more intimate experience. It's what I enjoy. But look, horses for courses, yep. isn't it? So there is a cruise vessel out there that will suit whatever.
I think we've mentioned
a
few times that the smaller ones are probably the better ones if you want to be a bit more personal, I guess.
A bit more personal, and also they nudge into ports that the larger vessels can't get into yep. as well. So you've got that benefit as well, and not having to embark and disembark with so many people all at once. So it's a lot easier. You get a lot more shore time.
Sally Lucas, thank you very much.
And thanks, Greg.
A lot of cruising today.
Yeah, it was a lot of cruising today, so I'm going to have to do land next week. Otherwise, I'm getting wet feet.
Sally Lucas, thank you very much. And 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.